Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Hey, up to Pasuk Chav Zayin. Pasuk Chav Zayin is a continuation of describing the corruption that was found in Yerushalayim at the time of Korban. We learned yesterday about the Pasuk, which leads into this Pasuk, about describing how the people, they would set traps. People were looking to make trouble. We just go back one Pasuk, Kinimsu V'Ami Rishayim, wicked people. The Pasuk makes no mistake about it. We're dealing with wicked people who are Yashur Keshach Yikushim. They are setting their sight to set traps. Yashur means it's not working, the machine? Outside. The people are setting their eyes. They're lying in ambush. Yashur. They're laying in ambush, Keshach, to set Yikushim traps. Yitzibu Mashchis Anashim, Yitzibu Dai Mashchis. It's another word for a trap. They are laying traps. And what are they coming to trap? Not birds, not animals, but instead Anashim Yilkoidu. They're coming to steal from other people. Now we're up to Pasuk of Zayin. Kichlov Molei Oif. It's like a klov is a trap. Bovni Mitzudos Tzioin. He translates a klov, Maseu ke'ein sal v'osul oifos. A klov is a certain type of a trap which looks like a basket, and it's meant to trap birds. Like a klov, like a trap of birds, molei oif that are filled with birds, kein batehem melei mirmon. So too are the people, are their homes filled with deceit. Al kein, therefore, godlu v'yashiru, they become very great and wealthy. Let's look at the Mitzudos David. A cage. It's a cage that's designated for birds. Let's see what this means of the Mitzudos David. Kichlov, kimoy haklov, humole min oifas. Just like a klov, this cage is filled with birds. Kein batem hemamole min hamirma. So too, the people living in this time, the evil people, their homes were filled with deceit. Godlu, behoin rav. They have accumulated enormous wealth, but of course that wealth was achieved through corruption. Ulitoisefes beyor omar vayashiru, to make it clear, means the goydel means they became very wealthy, and it's a repetition of the word poetic repetition. They became extremely wealthy. Let's see the Radak pasik chov zayin. Okay, kichlov molei oif. Klov, what is a klov? He translates it as a kli osui minisarim. It's made from boards. You grow birds, you let them develop, and you fatten them there in this trap.
A trap, but in a cage.
In a cage, right. In a cage. Right, so it's not a trap. I'm sorry. It's a cage where you fatten the birds. And that's what the Targum says, the base pitma. He brings the pasuk in Amos, a clove, a summer cage. Sal also in Sodom there as well. It means a basket made from boards. V'him shilu l'klov molei oif. Now, what is the deeper meaning? Why is the pasuk comparing them to a klov molei oif? So here explains: k'moisha klov memalim oifos kefi mashahu. Just like in this cage, you fill it with birds. You fill it with birds kefi mashahu, depending upon whatever the cage can contain. V'noistim l'soichay ma'cholim mashkev v'oichlim sham tamid. And in the cage, you put food and drink. Kein bate ele horishaim mileyim mirma ritzon loimar mamoin mekuvitz bemirma. Money that has been gained through deceit. Uboin umisad nin boy. They enter their homes and they take delight. They enjoy their illegal profits. Al kein galu vayashiru. Al kein shabolu hamamon zebli amal viyigiam. Because this money has come to them without hard work, Godlu bin Chasim v'Yashiru, they become very successful. That seems to imply that all rich people are Ganovim, which is not true, of course, but some are.
We hear a lot of that.
Some are. Okay, anyone that has a lot of money, right away, you get to wonder, where did they get all that money?
It's used today for class work. Everyone who was rich got there because their gains were unjust.
Okay, you can't really say that wholesale, but
that's the turn other people together.
Okay, Rashi says kiklov humakim shemafatim boya oifer. It's the same thing. Rashi says pasuk of Zion. It's a cage where you fatten birds. The chain tirgum oyonason kibes pitma, a cage where you fatten the birds. Udalaz, are you familiar with this word? Mechol vlaz peirish. What? Frank, where are you getting all this information from, by the way? Oh, that's in the Judaica Press. Okay.
Sometimes I try to figure it out myself.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chav Ches. Next Pasuk. Pasuk Chav Ches says, Shamnu, this is a continuation. Shamnu, they become fat. Oshisu. Oshisu means they become like it means like clear, tzach. They become, I don't have a really good word. Well, how do they translate the other mitzudos? Corpulent. What does that mean? Corpulent. But what's the difference between the word shamnu? It's not really, okay. In the mitzudos siyoin, it says, shamnu, lashon of tzach, where will we find it? Oshesu, inyin tzachois ubihirus, clarity. Kimo me'ov, his stomach, eshes shein. Is like shiny ivory. Eshes normally means like a mass of shein of ivory. So this thick, a thickness of shein. So isn't that the same thing as shamnu? We have poetic repetition, possibly. A block of shein, a block of ivory. All right. So here we have this. It's the same idea. He translates it that it's a yoshes. A thickness of dark. Okay, so far two words which mean pretty much the same thing. Shamnu oshesu, they became fat and thick. Gam avru divrei ra, they've transgressed. They avru divrei ra, they've transgressed evil words. We'll see. Din lo danu, they did not judge. They did not execute justice. Din yosom ve din lo danu. Din yosom vayatzlihu, they judged even the claim of the orphan. Right, so this means, let's read the whole pasuk. We'll see the mitzvahs inside. Vayatzlihu u'mishpat evyonim loyshafatu, they did not judge the judgment of the poor man. Let's see the mitzvahs in this pasuk to explain in the pasuk of Ches. Shamnu nasu shmenim v'tzachu b'behirus rav, they became fat and thick. The behirus rav with great clarity, which is an expression which means they became very, very successful.
Just a couple of words. Very simply, kol koshel mikol koshel basu lo levad she'en yirein village. They weren't even. In other words, a lot of times people they stole, but they know they didn't have a guilty conscience, but they do. That's why, guys, discreet collectors. The best place to be is on Wall Street, because people at the end of the day hand out $20 bills because they ease their conscience about how they made some of their money. No, they had a whole thing on 60 Minutes years ago that people, they're standing out in the street, make $100, but they had one guy who was making $100,000 a year just standing in the street.
Wow.
So he did this. The reason he was on the news, of course, one of his neighbors in Long Island, where he had a huge home in Long Island, he used to be on Wall Street. He saw him and asked him what he was doing there. And see, he was making, he said, this way he makes over $100,000 tax-free money. So, because people just have this guilty feeling and they hand out big bucks at the end of the day, it makes them feel better. But yes, so you have a little bit of a guilty conscience. He's saying, over here, these people, they don't even feel bad about what the way they got their money.
Okay. Okay, next words in the Mitzvah David, Gam Avru Ritzonelah. Here is the heart. So these words are a bit complex. Gam Avru Ritzonelah. Gam Kol Divrei Ra Haba Liyadam Avru Aleihem. All words of evil which have come to them, they have transgressed. In other words, nothing held them back. So Avru means they have committed a crime. Any opportunity of doing something evil, they took advantage of. Din loydanu din emes, the afilu din yosom. Now you have to basically add a word into the pasuk. When the pasuk says din loydanu din yosom, you have to add afilu din yosom. V'yafal pichen hitzlichu, Even though, and they were successful, and Hashem says, I did not. The next word, Vayetzlichu, it's also hard, it seems to be a little bit out of place. Vayetzlichu, I let this go by Hashem, I let them be successful, I did not punish them. Umishpat, return to Loimar, Bavurki, Hitzlichu, Ochazu, Bidrocha, because they were successful and they did not receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Musar, they took this as a sign that they're not doing anything wrong, and they continued in their evil ways. Veloshaftu Mishpat Avyoinim, they did not judge the law of the poor, Asher Yitzaku Mibnei Noiksehem, that cried out because of their people that were stealing from them. So if we go back and read the pasuk again in its entirety, it's a bit more complex, but it means Shomnu, they became fat, Oshesu, they became corpulent, thick, Gam Avru Divrei Ra, any opportunity, any time words of Ra, someone presented them with a deal that was evil, Avru, they committed, Avru, they passed over what is correct to do what is evil. Din Loidanu, they did not execute judgment, even the Din Yosam, Vayat Slichu, they were successful. Their success led them to believe that they're doing nothing wrong, and therefore Mishpat Evyanim Loy Shafatu, they did not judge the crime of the poor. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Chavches, Oshisu, Lashon Eshes Shein, a block of ivory. Goof off. He translated very precisely, a thick mass. Ubalaz, and in French,
strange word that means thick.
Thick, okay, next. Avru divrei ra. What do these words mean? We already said, but Rashi says the same thing. Imbos ra oyaveru liyadam, if evil or an avera came to your hand, loinotu mimenu, they did not remove themselves. Ela avru ba, they passed through it. They passed through the evil. They allowed the evil to be part of them. Va'asa'uha, and they committed the evil. Loidanu din yosam l'man yatzlichu. So here he's a little bit different than Rashi. Rashi over here is saying that the yatzlichu is part of the expression din yosam. They loidanu din yosam in order to take advantage, so that l'man yatzlichu. Not like the mitzudos that says loidanu din yosam. Period. And then they see Hashem is not punishing them, the Yatzlichu, they're successful in all of their ways, and this to them is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with them, and there's nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in the daily affairs, and therefore they continued in this evil cycle of a Mishpat, Evyoinim Loi Shofat. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Chavches. Radak Shomnu and Oshesu al derech moshel k'moy vayishman yishrun vayivot. This is borrowed from what its famous pasuk in Devarim. Vayishman, they became fat. Klal Yisrael is called yishrun, they became fat. Klemar hirbu b'nichseyem gam yesh k'tzas hamalitza. There's also an expression ki hashirim b'roiv heim shmeinim udeshenim. Look at that. Woo. That most rich people are obese. Is there a fact to not the other way around? I'll say today, just the other way around. Today, people
they do call them fat cats.
People today who are very wealthy, they are able to afford to buy their own to health, and they go to the gym. They're into health foods.
Uh huh.
Okay, so Kiyashirim Berayv Heim Shmeinim V'Deshenim Ashesu Zochu. So he translates, like you said before, Ashesu means Zochu, they become pure. I guess if you eat very well, you have good food, your skin has a beautiful complexion. Maybe that's what it means over here. Min Eshes Shein. He seems. Health. Fatness. Health means you're fat. Being fat is a sign of good health. Min Eshes Shein Ki Hashamein Or Besoro Zach. Something that is fat, his skin is pure. V'chein Tir Gimyonason Asaru Af Kino Nichsin. They became wealthy, and they have acquired assets. Gam Avru Divrei Ra Lo Dayum Be'Asham. They were not satisfied with the wealth they possessed. Elahirbu Ligzol V'Lachnois. They continue to rob and to extort. Ad she'avru kol divrei ishra. Now again, he's quite struggling. The Radak, as Rashi and the Mitzudos, struggle to translate these difficult words. Gam avru divrei ra kiloimar yoser heireu lasos mishar anoshim ra'im. They've done more than their companions. Ad she'avru aleihem bira'asam. They surpassed their evil. So he's translating in gam avru. They did better. They broke the record. They surpassed. Gam avru, they surpassed divrei ra, the words of other evil people. That's seemingly what he says. Like one more time, the words of the Radak. One more time, those words. Elohim avru kol divrei ishra. Kolamar yoiser hereu lasois mishar anoshim ra'im ad sha'avru aleim berasam. The other interpretation, af avaru al piskami araisa. He has another interpretation which seemingly fits more with Rashi and the Mitzudos, that they transgressed the laws of the Torah. Avadu divish, they did what is evil. Uperushoi din yosam. What is din yosam? Klama mishpat hayosam v'ha'adam hachalush loishafatu. They did not stand up for the poor and meek. V'loilaku mishpat mishpatam me'oshkehem, and they did not take their mishpat from. They did not exact judgment from the people that are robbing these poor people. Vayatzlichu v'yaf al pichein vayatzlichu. Even though they were corrupt, they were successful, and therefore they continued in this evil cycle. Mishpat avyonim kofel in b'milushana. So here is just poetic repetition. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk, and the pasuk of this little chapter, this section concludes. When I witness all of these terrible things that I mentioned in the last few psukim, am I going to be silent? Hashem is speaking to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, you're trying to tell me, Yirmiyah, and this really concludes this section, where Yirmiyah tried to be melamed zuchus on Klal Yisrael and say to Hashem that there's no reason to punish them because they don't get the message. If you're going to punish them, they're not going to learn the lessons of punishment. So therefore, why bother punishing them? Hashem says, no, I can't hold back. That when there's such a great degree of corruption among the people, even if they're not going to learn the lesson of punishment, there still must be punishment for the sake of punishment. It's a very interesting insight. There's two different purposes of punishment. One is a person should learn, and then they learn from his mistakes and be a better person. And then even if a person is not going to learn from his mistakes, he has to be punished just for the sake of punishment. This is the big debate in the legal system. This is the big debate in the American legal system. It's always an ongoing debate in the court system, is what's the purpose of jail? Is the purpose of jail to punish a person, or is it to keep him off the streets, to protect society from this evil person? Nafka mina, capital punishment. If it's a din to punish the person, so you get this capital punishment. If the government considers itself, we're not the people here whose role it is to give punishment, we'd have to protect society from people that are crazy, so it's a different type of jail, yeah?
Rabbi Grunblatt's book, he wrestles with the problem of gullus. He uses the analogy of prison. What is the purpose? Is it rehabilitation, or is it protect society? An analogy could be made for gullus. What's the point of punishing us with gullus if it's to learn a lesson and it's not working? And if it's just to punish, then how long is the right amount of punishment and so on? And grapples with that issue.
So that's really we have this conversation between Yirmiyah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyah, in the beginning of this parak, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no reason to punish these people. They're not going to be rehabilitated. So don't bother. Let them free, let them loose, let them do whatever they want. Hashem says, you may be right that they're not going to be rehabilitated in the near future, but there's still accountability. There are crimes that have been committed, and people have been harmed. The poor people have been harmed, and people are suffering. And I cannot let that go by, even if they're not going to be rehabilitated. There has to be an accountability for chayt. It's a very profound conversation between Yirmiyah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
That's why the Meisei Midbar, because God said, you're never going to get better, so we have to start fresh with a new generation. And other Marishon, he had to give them death, because the Chazal tell us, he had no, why do you do Truvas? Because he asked Elo Yom HaMisa. He didn't have Yom HaMisa. So he had to give him something to do Tshuva, which was tell him he's going to die. And that was the only way, Marishon to do a Tshuva.
There's going to still be accountability. There's still going to be accountability. Okay, now this pasuk that we've just quoted appears three times in this section. If you notice, this pasuk, the pasuk we just read, Ha'al Eile Loi Efkoi Num Hashem, Im Begoya Asher Kozel Loi Tzis Nakeim Nafshi, and the Medrash takes note of this. Where this medrash is in Eitzer HaMidrashim Eisenstein. Okay, I'm not exactly sure with this edition. Once Eitzer quotes here Eitzer HaMidrashim in parentheses Eisenstein Chupas.
He published around 1923.
Okay, on page 166, he quotes, he mentions from there, he quotes the Medrash, and it says, I'll read you the words of the Medrash, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shalosh Azeros Nichtavu Al Yidei Yirmiyahu V'chol Achas V'achas Nichtav Basrei. There are three specific sins that Yirmiyahu mentions, and after each one of these sins, he concludes with this pasuk: Ha'al Eile Loi Efkoit. Will I not? Hashem says, "Will I not go and punish? Will I not punish for these sins?" Then what are the sins we've just mentioned? And therefore, the fact that these things are mentioned, Al Eile Efkoit, there's no mechila. The Medrash goes on: Lo Yoimaki Yipur Mechaper. V'lo yisurin mimorgin, v'lo yoimisa soleach. Pretty serious stuff. That death is not going to atone, yisurim is not going to atone, and Yom Kippur will not atone. What are the three sins that we find this expression? Hitui hatoya sadin. Number one is, which we just quoted, okay, hatoya sadin is corruption. When the government is corrupt, and poor people are being taken justice, there's no justice. That's what we've just quoted over here is Shamnu Ashasu Gam Avu Divrei Ra Din Loidanu Din Yosom Vayatzlichu Mishpat Evyonim Loy Shafatu. Okay, that's Hatoya Sadin. What we said before, a few psukim back, was Haba Al Eshes Ish. Okay, this Hili Arayos. This was said a few psukim back. We'll see if we can find it in a moment. He was not quoting it the Pesukim. I had another medrash which actually where maybe I have in the art scroll. Yeah, where's the Pasuk?
It says,
I have it here. I do have it here. Pasuches. Yeah, I have it over here. I'm sorry. It's here. Pasuches. Go back to Pasuches. It says, Perikhei, Pasuches. Susim, mizuyonim, mashkim hayu ish el eshes reyu yitzhalu pasik tes haal eile loy efkoy nuum Hashem. Same expression. And the third pasik is loshon hara, v'yamesaper loshon hara. Hidri adin l'chsiv, it says, din loy danu goymer v'chsiv ashrei alil loy efkoy ha'bal eish l'ish l'chsiv pasik ches. Susin miyu zonim mashkim chayu yishal re'eu re'el shrei v'yitzalu and iksib ashrei ha'al eile. And in the third one, mesaper lashon har, we have not yet learned this. This is later in Perek Tes. In Perek Tes, pasuk zayin, chitz shochut lishoynam mirma diber. These people have a sharp tongue. They have a tongue. Their tongue lishoynam is a chitz shochut, is a sharpened arrow. Mirma diber, they speak deceit. And then right after that pasuk, it says exactly the same expression, ha'al eile lo'efkoy bom. Will I not punish the people for committing such a horrible sin? Okay, so this is a powerful medrash to take note that here in Sefer Yirmiyah, in rapid succession, well, really in two in this parak and one later on, we have the same exact expression, ha'al eile lo'efkoy bom. And the words of the Navi are not random. They're not just thrown out with any thought. There is a deeper meaning in his words. And since these three times it says this expression in reference to three chatoim, it teaches us that these three chatoim are in a league all by itself: lashon hara, hatoya sadin, and gilui arayos. And the Medrash goes on. I don't know what the source is, but the Medrash again says that for these three sins, even Yom Kippur, death and Yisurim are not mechaper.
Except for
that's not included. Avodah Zarah says you can do tshuva for it. It's only the Tikkun Shbarach.
Well,
these
deeds. So the Malbim happens to say that it's three kapper, it's Gila Raya, Shvut, and
That's what he says. Gili arayis, okay. A shvichas damim is hatoya sadin.
And maybe shvichas damim is like
hatoya sadin
because it's considered.
Lashon hara maybe is.
Maybe it's considered killing somebody. Basically, I mean, maybe that's the thought process.
That's Znus. That's clearly Znus. That's the Susan. Okay, yeah. Okay. So this is an important insight. This Medrash three times. I'm not forgiving.
There's
no forgiveness. There's going to be accountability, whether you like it or not. And that means even Yisur, even death, there's going to be accountability no matter what. And these three chatoim are in a league by itself. That is at least one major Yisur we can take away from this pasuk.
Let the government corrupts is one.
Yeah.
Lashon hara two.
And Arayos.
That's
not the way the Malbim
answers.
Right.
What do you mean? These are the psukim.
The Malbim is calling them the
three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayah, Shvichas Tamim.
Right.
And he's not connecting it to the pasuk before?
He connects to it. I don't think he doesn't mention the third pasuk, does he?
What do you mean? He mentions the Avodah Zarah in terms of denying Hashem.
But where does he get that from? Where is he picking that up from? Because these three psukim, they follow directly, Hal Elul Efkoid Bam follows three very specific sins in the pasuk before, in the psukim before. Okay, so we'll leave it with this medrash. This medrash over here is very clear. It's these three sins. They are in a league to themselves. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed. Shama v'sha'arura nihiyasa ba'aretz. Chorban. These are very frightening words. Utter destruction. Utter desolation and destruction. Look at the mitzudos tzion. He translates the words very precisely. Shama inyin timahon. Wonderment. The destruction will be so massive, so enormous, people will observe in a state of wonder. V'sha'arura da'inyin. Shama shocking.
Appalling.
Or here they translate in the article astonishing. Astonishing, and v'sha'arura is disgraceful. Inyin davar migune umaus. Something disgraceful. We see sha'arura possibly later on. Niyasa will be there is going to be shock and disgrace. Nihiyasa v'aretz will be in the earth. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk lamed aleph. Hanivim nivu v'sheker. The prophets have given over prophecy to falsehood. V'hakoyanim yirdu al yideihem. And the koyhanim rule. The word yirdu means who yered. What did the parrot say to Yosef? They will rule bidigas. Man will rule bidigas hayam. And also by Paro, Paro said about Yosef, v'hu yered ba'ami. I'm tricking you. Right, right. What did he say? He said, So here it just means Yirdu means Zakayanim Yirdodim, which means that the Koyahanim they're going to rule Ali Dehem means through the Nevi'a Sheker. Now that means it's very frightening that the Koyahanim were dependent upon the Nevi'a HaSheker. That's how corrupt the society was.
We talked about the Pasuk Asher Vashtag Asher Tengel, that's later on by
My nation, they love to watch the show. They love to watch the show. They like to watch the Nevi'ah Sheker call the shots, and the Kehanim would follow in tow. Hashem says the rhetorical question, what's going to be the end? Do you really think I'm going to stand back and let this remain in such a situation? Okay, let's see more precision from the Mefarshim, the Mitzudos, David, Pasuk, Lamed, and Lamed Aleph. Shama, Dover, Timahon, Umiguna, Niyasabar. There's going to be astonishment and disgrace. Lamed Aleph, Hanavim Nivei Habal. We're referring it to the false prophets. Bashaker, B'shem Habal Shuda Bashak, they say prophecy in the name of the Baal, which is Shaker. Ve'hakoyanim, they are the Kohane Habal. Yirdu. Now, Yirdu means Yim Shilu, they will rule. They will rule through the authority, the Koyach HaNeviim, Kihem HaHim Shilum, they gave them power to rule. So society was set up where the Nevi'ei HaBaal were in charge, and they are the ones who made the appointments of Kohanim. It was a corrupt system. Avukein, Lios Heim HaMoishlim, the people love this. They love that the Nevi'ei HaShekher should be the rulers. Umat Hasu, and here the pasuk, the perek, winds down with a rhetorical question. Hanavi Omer Lohem, so here according to the Mitzvot, the speaker is Yirmiyah. He says to Klal Yisrael, Umat Hasu Bevo Achris HaDavar Hu Gimul HaTashlumin. What do you think? You think Hashem's going to tolerate this corruption forever? To allow the Nevi'ei HaBaal to be in charge, and they're going to be the ones who are going to decide who serves in the Beis HaMikdash, who are going to be the Kohanim, who are going to be the teachers of Klal Yisrael? You don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to tolerate this? What's going to be on the day of reckoning? V'chibiyodim l'hatzil aschem. Do you think that on the day when the enemy comes, the Nevi'ei HaBaal is going to be able to save you? Of course not, and that's his rhetorical conclusion of this parak. Let us see Rashi. Pasik lam lamed aleph. Shama timahon is astonishment. Visharura dover miguna lakol disgrace. What is the astonishment? The astonishment is the hanavim nivim sheker v'oimrim heavy goyzlin v'oinsin. That the Nevi'im would tell the people, the false prophets will tell the people, steal and rob. Yerdu esa'am al yidei ha-Nevi'im will rule over the people through the Nevi'im, kolaymar li'acharehem. They will follow in their wake. Kumo v'hamelech oiver, the melech passes. V'chol ha'am oivrim al yado, which means to pass acharav. Afkan al yidehem, when it means yidehem, means acharehem, the kohanim will follow behind the Nevi'ei HaSheker. The kohanim will rubber stamp anything which the Nevi'ei HaSheker say, lasos kidivrei ha-Nevi'im. And it concludes that this is not going to be tolerated. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Lamed. Shama v'shashur v'sharura niyasa shama inyin t'miya k'mo kasha shamu alecha rabim shak k'loimar dover temo hu ma dover k'loimar I lost the place over here and the v'im from the evils that are being done. The dover tinuf the lichluch, something disgusting, waste. The zero perusha visharua inyan tinuf the lichluch kmoi ha taanim hashoyarim, like the serpents which roar. Ukatargum yonason figs. Hata'enim, and what does it mean, ha-shoyarim? What does it mean? Spoil figs? Uchetargim yonetzen shama, tema, I'm not sure, that means tema, period. Yesh nuschois tema, v'hu loshen kilyon, k'mo matam tamisi, maya, b'divir ha-basedis, ho l'vracha v'targim, sharua shtaka. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what that means. We'll leave it. Lamed aleph, ha-nevi'im, ata now perish mahi, now he explains what is going to be the astonishment and the disgrace that will exist in the land. Nibu b'sheker la'am, they give over false prophecy. The false prophets tell the people words of sheker, and they mislead and misguide the people. Nibu b'sheker va'akayanim yidu al yideihem inyan l'kicha min rido hadvash. It means to take. Like to remove, to take down the honey. Kolaymar yikhu hashoychad le'aves hamishpat. They will take bribery to corrupt judgment. Yikhu oisam al yideihem. They will take the corruption, the bribery through the Nevi'ei HaSheker. Kiroide hadvash biyadai, like someone who takes down honey in his hand. Shehu toiv arim, which is good and sweet. The yesh mefarshim oisam inyan. Someone's on the take. Okay, so therefore he's translating over here means to take. The HaKoyanim, the prophets, Yirdu will take. He is translating over here in the word Yirdu, not like Rashi and the Mitzudos, which means to rule. The Koyanim will take bribes through the instruction and through the help, the assistance of the Nevi'ei HaShek. There's going to be a great degree of corruption. Some learn like the Mitzudos and Rashi that it means authority. Min kihu roide, like it says in Malachim, he is the ruler. Lo sirde bo, do not domineer over a person. Return to Lamar, hakoyhanim roidim ba'am, the koyhanim will rule over the people, they will be in charge. Who gave them their post? Who gave them authority? Alidei hanevi'im, through the prophets, umitzvah summon, through their command. Umatim hamishpat kiritzaynam, the Nevi'ei HaSheker are going to call all the shots. They're going to influence society by appointing the Kohanim that are corrupt, just like them. The cholam oyvim ritzin olaymar ritzim b'chol zeh. All the people are very happy with this. The people are very happy with this. With this society. Why? They're also being paid off. Because the Nevi'im, they go and they beautify their evil deeds. They let the people do whatever they want. Yirmiyahu concludes with a rhetorical question: what's going to be the end of this astonishment and this disgusting conduct that is taking place in Klal Yisrael? Kolaymar im hasharura yafa beinechem. Even though you may think that this disgusting thing is beautiful in your eyes, you're very happy to have these corrupt leaders which let you do whatever you want. Ata masu lacharisam. The end is not, Hashem will not tolerate this forever. Ki seidu ki mora tia bacharayna, because the day of reckoning is coming when you will be punished for your evil deeds, and then it's not going to be fun anymore. Now we go into the next parak. Parak Vav begins to describe in more detail the actual churban. Okay, this is the destruction of exactly what's going to happen on the day when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And in fact, we learn from this pasuk some halachas. We all know that we commemorate Tisha B'Av on the ninth day of Av. That is not a simple matter, because the truth is the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, entered into the Beis HaMikdash on day 7. And day 8, they spent the entire day plundering the utensils and the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash. On day 9, they ignited, they torched the Beis HaMikdash, and it burnt in its majority on day 10. So the truth is, the Churban Beis HaMikdash was a 4-day process. And we're not discussing the siege, which 3 years. They sieged Yerushalayim for 3 years. And we're not discussing when they breached the walls. That was Machloikis. Did that take place on the ninth day of Tammuz, or did it take place like we commemorate on the 17th day of Tammuz? Let's just focus for the moment on the actual Churban Beis HaMikdash. It was a 4-day process. Day 7, day 8, day 9, and day 10. Again, 7, they breached, 7, they entered, day 8, they plundered, day 9, they ignited, and day 10, it actually burnt. We commemorate day 9, Chazal focused, halacha l'maisa, the Iker was the day when it was set on fire. It was set on fire on day 9. That was the Iker Churban that Chazal focused on, and that over here is alluded to in these psukim over here. Let's see. Pasuk begins, Ho'izu b'nei Binyamin mikarev Yerushalayim. Ho'izu means to gather together. The only ones that were really left in Yerushalayim at the time of Churban Beis Rishon was Binyamin and Yehuda, because the Aseres Hashem have gone into Golus, and the pasuk here addresses Binyamin. They were the ones that lived within the area of the Beis HaMikdash, gathered together, b'nei Binyamin, mikarev, from the center of mikarev Yerushalayim, uviskoya, and in the city Tekoya. This is a play on the words. There's a city, there's a city that is near Yerushalayim called Tekoa. And in the city of Tekoa,
there is today.
Where is Tekoa? How far is it?
Somewhere in the
Binyamin
territory.
Okay, uviskoya. It's a chiddush, because we would think that in the time of the Churban there was only one city left, Yerushalayim. because there was a siege for 3 years. So it seems here that no, the city of Tekoa was still independent. Or maybe just a play on the words, it's not being literal, it's just being very poetic.
We also know where the Sanhedrin was.
The Sanhedrin, that was the Bayesheni, when the Golis, the ten Golis was the Bayesheni. So here we're focusing primarily on the Bayesh Rishon. Here's a poetic expression, Uviskoya, and in the city of Tekoa, Tiku Shofar, blow the horn. Both words are the same word. Tekoa is the name of a city, and Tiku means to blow the horn. The two words are being put together as a poetic expression of the Navi. Blow the shofar. The shofar is being blown as a warning call, or as a call to go into your bomb shelter, or as a call to bear arms. The end is near. The Albeis HaKerem. That's far, far away. And during this period of time, there was no Osher. They went into Golis long ago. Okay, so whatever it means. We'll leave it whatever it is. It's a poetic expression. The Al Beis HaKerem, the Mitzudas also says, Beis HaKerem was a location. It was a name of a city. Do you have any reference? Okay, so very good. There's a place called Beis HaKerem. Su'u, lift up Mas'es. This can mean one of two things. Mas'es means lift up a fire. Raise a very great torch as a sign for the people to know the enemy has arrived and the Beis HaMikdash is about to be destroyed. Everyone should flee or go into bomb shelters. The other interpretation, Ma'aseis, means a banner. Lift up the white flag. Lift up a banner which again was a sign. Ki ro'ah nishkafa, evil nishkafa mitzafon, because evil is looking at us from the north. The north always is a code for Nebuchadnezzar. Ki mitzafon tiposach ro'ah, in the beginning of the Sefer, v'shever gadol, and great destruction is about to come. Let's go to the next pasuk. Hanovo ve'hameu noga domisi vasion. Klal Yisrael, who is here called, personified as Basion, you are very delicate. You are a people who are Novo. Novo means, it means beautiful. You're beautiful. V'hameu noga, you're delicate. And you're not equipped. People who are beautiful and are delicate are not equipped for the horrors of war. And now you're going to suffer. The pain of war is going to be that much greater when you're not accustomed to this. Eleho, upon you, upon Tzion, Yavoi will come Ro'im ve'edrehem, shepherds and their flock. Now that's a euphemism, that's a code for animal. That means a code for the enemy. The shepherds here refers to the army of Nebuchadnezzar. The Edrehem is all of the cavalry, all of the soldiers, the foot soldiers, the cavalry, all of the various battalions of the enemy. They're going to come. Taku Oleha Ohalim. They're going to set up tents. Taku means to pitch a tent. Ohalim Saviv. When they come to Yerushalayim, they're going to set up tents around Yerushalayim. Ra'u Ish Es Yadar. Ra'u means they're going to graze. And in the process, they're going to destroy the land, the location upon which they set up their headquarters. Wherever a general, wherever a soldier sets up a tent, he's going to set up a tent on someone's house or on a piece of land. And that piece of land has valuable produce or has valuables. They're going to destroy it. They don't care. They don't care about the property damage that they're causing when they come and they settle and to prepare for war. They're going to destroy. Kitshu Alecha Milchama. They're going to designate a battle call. Kachu means to be diligent, to prepare. They're going to prepare for themselves war. Kumu, they're going to rise up. V'nale v'atzoharayim. Now this refers, according to the Medrash, on the ninth day of Av. On the ninth day of Av, they're going to rise up. V'nale, they're going to enter. They're going to go up v'atzoharayim in the afternoon. And the afternoon of the ninth day is when the Beis Hamikdash was torched. Oy lanu. And they'll say to themselves, Kifono Hayom, and they're going to say to themselves, woe to us, oh, the day is almost over, Ki Yinatut Sillei Arev, the shade of the evening has spread out. In the late afternoon, the shadows are very, it's called spreading out, because when the sun is about to set, that's when the shadows are the longest. That's when they cast the greatest shadow. So it's an expression that they were frustrated. They wanted to go and destroy the Beis HaMikdash during daylight hours. It's not comfortable to destroy it at night when you can't see what you're doing. So they didn't have enough time. It was late in the afternoon, and they began to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and then they realized that the day is almost over, and they said, what are we going to do? We're going to have to wait until tomorrow to finish the job. So the next pasuk says, you know what? We'll do it at night. Kumu, let's get up. And Alev Alayla, you know what? The night's not going to stop us. We'll get up. In the evening, v'nashchitza armin osecha, we will destroy its palaces, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's basically what you're telling us here, that the enemy has arrived. Enemy has arrived in Yerushalayim, in the place of Binyamin. Everyone has to get together. They have to blow the shofar. They have to go and lift up a torch as a sign, because the enemy from the north has come. There's going to be a great destruction. The enemy is going to pitch its tents all over the place. They're going to devour any location where they set up shop. And they're going to prepare for war. And their war will culminate in the afternoon, and when they finally get a hold, they take control of the Beis HaMikdash 100%. It's going to be the afternoon, and they're going to be very upset that there's not enough time in the day to finish the job. And then they'll say to themselves, "You know what? We'll work overtime. We'll go into the night, and we'll destroy the Beis HaMikdash even in the darkness of night." Okay, now let's see all of that inside the Mefarshim. There's a lot of different opinions on how to read these psukim. Let's see the Metzudos of Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph begins. Pasuk Aleph. Let me find the place. He'izu. He'izu means gather together. Atem b'nei Binyamin. He'oslu lechas mikar Yerushalayim. Binyamin, who were living in the Beis HaMikdash, living in Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban, gather together in order to leave, save your lives. Ki ho'oyev yichbisha v'yaharoig ima, because the enemy will conquer it and will kill you, so you might as well run away. Uvit koya be'ir tikoya, in the city tikoya, tiku shofar, blow the shofar, lehazhir es am, to warn the people, lechas l'mechoinim l'mulchama, to go to battle. The army should engage. Ulefi sheshem ir tikoya amar tiku, because the name of the city is called tikoya amar tiku shofar loshon noifal loshon. It's a poetic expression. Blow the shofar, plan words. V'al beis kerem, that's also a place. Derech livnois bayis gavoya umigdol v'kerem. Now he is telling us here, according to the Mitzvot, it's going to be not like what it says in Rashi, and this is not a location. This is a makeshift fortress, a makeshift structure. It's not an actual city. Derech livnois bayis gavoya, a very tall building, umigdol v'kerem and a vinyan echad, lishma bo kol hakaram, to God all the kram, asher siviv osaf. Suma says it's a very high location. Suma says, Sarimu lahavas esh, light a torch. Lios nirilim rachogit jimsin the distance, lahazir es up, to warn the people. Vagam suma says, hu loshonosh, hu loshonosh, la loshon. Excuse me, it's a play on words. It's a play on words to go light a torch. These two words go together. Next, nishkafa near also love me bubble hoy benes bitzafon, because we got a big problem. The reason why we have to gather together and leave, the reason why the enemy has to engage and we have to go and lift up a torch, because the enemy is coming from the north. Next, the shever gadol hara'ah hahitiyeh shever gadol base hanaveh hamuunagab ani dimisi espasiyan liisha nava. Hashem says that Klal Yisrael is beautiful and delicate. Pasuk Gimel, Eleho, Atanau, Yavohu Eleho Roim VeEdrehem. Who are the shepherds and the flock of animals? Ritzon Eloimar, Anoshim Shifalim VeNivzim. Okay, shepherds in ancient times were not viewed as the upper echelon of society. They were viewed as lowlives. Even though we know David was a shepherd and Moshe was a shepherd and all of the great people were shepherds, but in society they were not
humble occupation.
So here it says here, it's in Anoshim Shefalim V'Nivzim V'Heim HaKasdim. The Kasdim were lowlives. Asher Einam Yoedim L'Chabed HaMechubadim. And that is a very frightening thing.
Some of Farshim tell us that the reason that they had all the avos and basically so many greats were shepherds, the reason they have to be shepherds is you have a lot of alone time. Think You're alone with your own thoughts.
Hispoidudos. It was a very good opportunity to be misplayed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Greatness. You care for the sheep. You learn how to care.
On the job training. Yeah, but in other words, you have all that.
Okay, there are many different reasons. 100%. But here we're referring to the enemy. Over here we're referring to the enemy as shepherds. And if the enemy is shepherds and their soldiers are called their flock, that's obviously a whole different connotation, a whole different look at what a shepherd and what a flock is. And this is apropos for the kastim, which were known to be the lowest of the low. And this is so true, Rachman al-Tzan, when it came to the World War II, to the Nazis. The Nazis had absolutely no respect for Klal Yisrael. When they came into the cities, when they came into the ghettos, they this is exactly what it says, Einam yoidim lechabeit ha-mechubadim. No respect. And this itself was a very great sorrow, how Klal Yisrael was tortured by people that had no respect for them. There's honor in war. There's such a principle that there's honor in war. There is such a principle. They even show, I remember seeing a documentary during the Crusades between the Christians and the Muslims. And they had respect for one another. They had some major battles. So you got to see this. You go on YouTube. They have different documentaries. They had major battles between the Christians and the Muslims. And there were different generals. And the generals, there was honor in war. Like each one recognized that this general has certain koichos, and when they battle,
they would stop the war and say, okay, you'll gather your dead and bury them.
But when it came to Klal Yisrael, there was no such thing. When it came to Klal Yisrael, they treated Klal Yisrael like garbage. And this was so true in the Holocaust, no respect whatsoever. And that added to the tzara. Einim yoidim lechabed hamechubadim. Tiku. Dechlet koya shipulei ha'oyal. Tiku here means they talk. So, taku olecha oyhalim. They pitch tents. When they set up shop in preparing for the battle, the enemy taku dechlet koya shipulei ha'oyal, the edge of the curtain of the tent, ba'aretz al yidei yisoyla supegs. What does it mean? They devoured. Kol echad mehem rohu es mekoymoy she'omad bo. They devoured the place where they set up their tent. They had no respect for the territory. Ritzon loymar kol echad megedudei hakastim. Each one of the battalions of the kastim hecherivu es hamokoyim asher chanu shama. They had no respect. They destroyed the location where they set up their center, their tents. Pasuk Dalit says, Kachu, prepare. They call to each other, prepare for war. Yizarzu elu le'elu. Each one would strengthen their fellow. The Yoimu, and they would say, Hazminu alecha milchama, let's prepare for war. Kumu venale alecha bat saharayim. The ace hamuchan biyoisela milchama, let us go and engage in battle in the late afternoon. In the afternoon is the ideal time for war. Oy lanu ki fana hayom, and here it says that when, by the way, we use this expression when Yom Kippur, the end of Yom Kippur, this one of the ni'ilah, one of the piyutim ki fana hayom, and that's obviously, where is that taken from? No question about it, taken from right here. Like we always say, every single word in the Nusach HaTfilah is drawn from psukim in Tanakh, and if you don't get to learn Yirmiyah and the Nevi'im Achronim, you don't get to appreciate the richness of the Nusach HaTfilah, which where it's being taken from. Now here it's interesting. Where are the end? This pasuk is not being seen in reference to something good. This pasuk, according to the Mitzudah, it's from the other interpretations. We'll see that in a moment. But at least according to the Mitzudah, was a call of the enemy. And the enemy was sad or was upset that they were unable to finish the job in the late afternoon. When the enemy realized that they were unable to conquer the city on that very day, the Al Kiyya Rav Chefsam Lashachi, so they had such a desire to destroy the city, they complained to themselves, woe to us, kifana hayom, the adayim loy lochad nuhuir, we have not yet conquered the city. Ki yinatu tsole aref, hatsel shel erev nata, it's already evening. We already see the shadows that precede sunset. ki atzel sh'orev nata ki kasher karva Hashem shlobes maravoy l'shkaya, when the sun goes to the extreme west and is about to set, yinatu hatzlalim limrachoyik, that's when the shadows are the longest, the yis'aruchu b'yoysev hu kofal in b'min l'shunas, and there then it's being repeated in many words. Next pasuk, kumu meroiv tavasam, so the enemy says to themselves, listen, so we'll go over time. Even though we're not going to be being pained for working at night, it's our delight to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They will say to themselves, "Kumu v'nalev alayla v'tashchitza arminosecha v'leinamtin ad yo'ir hayoyim." So this is a horrifying description. These six psukim that we went through over here, is if these five psukim is a horrifying description of what it's going to look like at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, notice that Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudos, whereas the Mitzudos interpreted that the Binyamin is gathering together to escape. Rashi learns that Binyamin are gathering together to protect Yerushalayim. A courage, heroism at the very end. L'leches l'areim lishmar, to guard mivtzareichem, your fortresses. Beis HaKerem, notice Rashi again disagrees with the Mitzudos. It is Shem Makom Hu, it's a name of a very specific place. And in this specific place, they're going to raise a nes, a flag. Not like the Mitzudos that interpreted this to mean to light a torch. Nes, a flag, likabetz ulilachem al nafshichem, in order to get together to battle. Pasuk Beis and Rashi, Hanova v'hameu noga dimisi basion, hacharevti, destruction, targum yonason, the translation of, I'm not sure what this means. Tirgumo Yonis and Loshon Vinodamu Nois Hashaloim Nidmisa Ashkeloin. I'm not sure what this means. You have the Judaica, how he translates this? Hanover and Pasuk Beis in Judaica. It should say there. How does he translate the first word? In Pasuk Beis.
In Rashi.
In Rashi.
Expression related to the dwellings of peace shall be destroyed.
No, that's the next one. The next one, pasuk beis. No, before that pasuk. After the dibur hamaskel, he hanova vehame unogad dimisi. What's the first words in the? Yeah, hecharavti. So what does that mean? How does he translate that? He does not translate the word hecharavti. What? Yeah, that's the Mitzudos. That we know. The Mitzudos says Hanoveva Hamunaga. I destroyed you. I destroyed you, Basiyain. I destroyed you. So it's an entirely different interpretation than the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos learns that it means I compared you to be something that is beautiful and delicate, and therefore it's going to be that much harder for you to suffer the enemy. Rashi is saying, no, Dimisa, I destroyed you. The beautiful and the Me'unaga, Basiyon, I destroyed. Hashem saying, I've destroyed you for your sins. Next, Pasuk Gimel Rashi, Royim ve'edrehem, Moshul hu melachim v'cheiloi sehem, the shepherds and their flock is a moshul for the generals and the kings and their armies. They are coming to attack Yerushalayim. Ra'u ochlu, when they set up their command center, or they set up their barracks, they consume. They have no respect for the territory, the land, the heritage of the land. They completely consume the area. Ochlu. Es yodoi, es mekoymoi saviv, the area, the location that surrounds the place where they set up shop. Next, kitshu katshu. Katshu means prepare. Zamnu. Each soldier says to his fellow, let's prepare for the battle. Oilanu le'eis pinos hayom. When the day is coming to an end, they say to themselves, woe to us. Kifana hayom kasher pona le'eis erev. Hitzisu arbes hamigdash. So seemingly Rashi over here is saying that this applies to us. Who is the one that is saying these words? Oy lanu, woe to us, kifano hayom. So it seems that according to Rashi, he disagrees with the Mitsudos. This is not a statement that's being said by the enemy, but rather it's a statement that's being said by Klal Yisrael. And when they witnessed the Beis HaMikdash being torched, they said to themselves, woe to us, kifana hayem kasher pona le'eis erev. When the day came to the end, hitzisu ho'ar beis hamigdash, they said, woe to us, that beis hamigdash is now being destroyed. Okay, and like we mentioned before, we observe Tisha B'Av. As we said before, there are 4 days of Tisha B'Av. There's the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. The 7th is when they entered, the 8th is when they plundered, the 9th is when they torched, and the 10th is when it burnt. Which one of the psukim, which one of the days, does the pasuk explicitly record an expression of grief? Notice on the 9th day. And this is a very big question. In fact, the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan says, in the Gemara, if I was present at the time when they made the Takana to fast on Tisha B'Av, I would have instituted they fast on the 10th day. Because the 10th day was the day when the majority of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And in fact, the Gemara, there's a record of many Tanai Amorayim that fasted 2 days, the 9th day and the 10th day. And you can argue you should fast on the 8th and the 7th day, because the 7th day is when they actually entered the Beis HaMikdash. Halacha l'maisa, we observe the 9th day. We deal why the Gemara says, because aschuli paranusa, we focus on the beginning of the paranus. But over here in this pasuk, there is an additional insight into why we fast on the 9th day, and that's because the place in Navi where we have a record of the tsar that Klal Yisrael experienced at the time of the Churban is on the 9th day. There is no record of people crying out to Hashem, Oy, no lanu, the enemy has entered the Beis HaMikdash. There is no record of them crying out on the 10th day, woe to us, the Mikdash has been burnt to a crisp. There's no record on the 8th day when they're plundering all the Kalim. But in Navi, the only place where there's an actual record of tsar by the people, the Hamoinam, where it finally hit them, is on the 9th day, where they said, at least according to the interpretation of Rashi, Oy lanu. They said, woe to us, kifano hayom. The day is coming to an end, and the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed. So therefore, when we, Bizman Hazeh, observe a day to commemorate the Churban Beis HaMikdash, right, we follow in the lead of what it says in Yirmiyah. We follow on the day when they said, Oy lanu. So we also observe an Oy lanu on that very day. And that day was the 9th day. How do we know? Because it says, Fana Hayom. The day is coming to an end. And Rashi tells us the tradition is, Fana Hayom is, the 9th day is coming to an end. Kifana kasher pana le'eis erev hitzisu ho'or bebeis hamigdash. Rashi records very precisely they made this statement on the 9th day of Tisha B'Av. So we have over here a makar in the pasuk why we observe Tisha B'Av on the 9th day and not on the other days. Okay, we have to do the Radak. We'll merely leave the Radak for after Yom Tov.